As some of you know, I abandoned my pursuit of a comedy career several years ago to go to law school. One of the most diametrically opposed, violent career changes known to man. People always ask me how I did it, how I made such a big change. Weren't you scared? Weren't you afraid to compete with all those hyper-competitive, workaholic kids coming straight out of college whose brains were still firing on all eight cylinders? What made you think you could do it? I'll be honest with you. I wasn't scared at all. Well, I was scared it might be boring. But once I got over that and decided to do it, I knew I'd wipe the floor with all those kids. And that's because there are two things running deep within the soul of every Jew: comedy and lawyering. Now, everyone knows about the comedy side, right? It comes from suffering, a coping mechanism for hard times, a great survival tool, all that. The lawyering part comes from the fact that we're talking about a race of people who've been experts at working the system since the dawn of time. It's because God handed us a moral code that has so many rules of conduct, it's impossible to follow them all. So we had to come up with a lot of workarounds. The most amazing of these Jew workarounds is the concept of the Shabbos Goy. Those Jews here know what I'm talking about, okay? For the rest of you, basically, the Torah tells Jewish people to honor the Sabbath, the seventh day, which for us is Saturday. On that Sabbath, there are a laundry list of things we can't do. You're supposed to have a day of reflection and rest where you basically let the world be as it is and not create anything new. You can't build a fire, no working or heavy labor, no writing, no carrying of money or buying or selling or engaging in commerce. And the fire thing has been extrapolated in modern times to also mean the use of electricity. So no turning the lights on or off or using the heat or the oven. So this is some pretty strict stuff. And Orthodox Jews today still follow this stuff. Sort of. Because the way the Jews figured out to beat this was the concept of the Shabbos Goy. At some point, a bunch of rabbis sat around and said, "Hey, the Torah says that we can't turn the lights on. But it doesn't say that people who aren't Jewish can't do it." So they started hiring people who aren't Jewish to do all the stuff that they're not allowed to do themselves on the Sabbath. They hire a non-Jewish guy to chop the wood and make a fire, drive into town, pick up groceries, turn the damn lights on or off. Honest. And this guy became known as the Shabbos Goy. To me, this is the most egregious Jew workaround of all time. Now, when God said not to make a fire, he meant you weren't going to have a fucking fire that day. Okay? And if there was any work to do, it was going to have to wait until Sunday. It was supposed to be a sacred space within your week where things were different and where you unplugged from the world. He didn't say, "Don't make a fire, but it's okay if you get the Norwegian guy next door to do it for you." No other religion in the world would have you encourage people outside of the faith to break the rules. What kind of God only wants his Sabbath to be honored by 1% of the population? It's insane. It's basically saying there's no hope for these other people anyway. They're going to burn in Jew hell. So we might as well have them be useful to us in the meantime. And I'm not making this up. My grandparents on my father's side were Orthodox Jews, very religious. My grandfather went to synagogue every day, walked there on Saturdays. He practically lived there. It's probably what kept his marriage going for so long. But I'd go over there on Saturday to visit them, and they had everything hooked up to timers. So 1 o'clock in the afternoon, bam, the TV comes on so he could watch wrestling. That's another thing about old Jews. They love wrestling. I mean the fake kind, WWF and all that. That I have no explanation for. He was pretty old at the time. Hell, he seemed old to me when I was born. But he might have known it was all fixed. His English wasn't that great, so who knows. But basically, everything in the house was rigged so they could have all of the modern comforts without technically violating the Sabbath. TV and lights were on timers. They left the pilot light on the stove to work around that whole no cooking thing. And anything that couldn't be rigged, they'd have a Gentile come over and do it for them. And it goes beyond the Shabbos Goy concept, too. If you read the Torah or the other texts of the Old Testament, you'll see that there are pages and pages of commentary written by great Jewish scholars through the ages analyzing the text and making allegorical references. Most of these texts are all workarounds. Like, there'll be a part that says, you shouldn't charge interest to someone, and it will be clear as day. Like, don't charge interest. It's forbidden, and if you do it, I'll strike you with lightning and kill you. But these commentaries will say, well, when God says not to charge interest, what he's really saying is not to charge interest until after the 23-day grace period following each purchase. Or, God wasn't literally talking about interest as we think of it today. This was simply an allegory intended for an outmoded agrarian society, where one who sold sheep was entitled not only to his cost, but also the first lamb offspring as well. So this has no application to those operating in modern times on either a cash or accrual basis. They try to water down everything. For example, the Torah says you have to keep kosher, so you can't mix meat and dairy products together or eat them at the same time. But people will find it too harsh. So one rabbi will say, well, at least wait an hour afterwards. Then the other rabbi will say, no, no, that's for swimming. You only have to wait 30 minutes after eating meat. They'll end up settling at around 45 minutes. The point is, that's the kind of horseshit haggling they do over every single rule. Just chiseling away at a rigid moral code for centuries, for eons really, just to find some breathing room so they could live. We literally trained to fight our way through fine print. So when you send a Jew to law school, it comes so easily, it's like taking the day off. Like its own little Shabbos, really. Except you can't hire someone to take your exams for you. Apparently you get expelled for that. Seriously, this talent our people have for working around rules and using them to our advantage goes back a long way. And it has nothing to do with trying to negotiate with other people or trying to gain advantage over them. It comes from centuries of trying to negotiate the best deal you can with God himself. And that fucker is tough. You're never going to beat him. You know that going in. But you fight for every inch. And at the end of the day, you know you did the best you could, and you live to fight another day. So compared to going into the octagon with God, analyzing a contract or arguing with other people is like playing Little League. You spent your whole life swinging a bat with weights on it, like those hitters in the on-deck circle. So when you get into the batter's box and take the weights off, it's like you're swinging a goddamn toothpick. And the hardest fastballs seem like they're floating there like beach balls. In fact, it comes so naturally to me, I don't even refer to what I do as lawyering. I think of it as Jewing. As in, Mom, I can't talk now. Got some Jewing to do. Yeah, I'll see you tonight. Or when people ask me what I do, I refer to myself as the Jew from the studio. Which is the truth. I handle all the paperwork and make sure nobody does anything stupid. Which is very steady work when you're working in Hollywood, but that's another story. Now, I know that might seem like self-loathing, but it isn't. On the contrary, I'm proud of that ability, and I think of myself as carrying on a tradition passed down by a generation of pale, hunched-over guys sitting behind desks full of ledgers and books before me. Meek but cagey little men who clean up the financial and administrative messes made by all the square-jawed dumbfucks out there who run the world. I think Ben Kingsley played a guy like that in Schindler's List, didn't he? Those guys are heroes to me. They're unsung and tenacious, and they keep the world from falling apart. They're scrappy, they're smart, and they have an incredible tolerance for madness and pain. And I have all those qualities too, which is why this profession suits me. And I had those qualities long before I made it my career. So when I made the decision to study law, it was nothing more than going to finishing school. And besides, as someone who's tried his hand in many different careers and lived to tell the tale, lawyering is easy, comedy is hard.